WILL's Illinois Newsroom. This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Tuesday, November 23rd. Coming up, drug overdose deaths reached the highest level ever recorded during the pandemic. We'll learn about one Midwest city's efforts to raise awareness and save lives. That story coming up in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. Governor J.B. Pritzker wants to increase Medicaid reimbursements to nursing homes in Illinois for the fourth time in recent years. But as Hannah Meisel reports, Illinois' largest nursing home trade group has big objections to the plan, and so do groups advocating for senior citizens.
Pritzker's administration is pushing a Medicaid reimbursement increase for nursing homes that would be contingent on facility staffing levels. The state's largest nursing home trade group objects to that plan, saying it's unfair to the struggling industry. But AARP Illinois is opposed to the plan because the group claims Illinois nursing homes accept new residents even when it's not in those patients' best interest, motivated by profit.
So before you advance additional funding for the nursing home industry, you need to require that level of transparency.
That's Steve Anderson, who for years practiced elder law before a stint as a state lawmaker and now lobbying for AARP. He said time and again he saw nursing homes admit his clients even though they preferred and would have been better off receiving in-home care. I'm Hannah Meisel.
Illinois Secretary of State and State Librarian Jesse White is urging children in 4th through 12th grades to take part in the 2022 Letters About Literature in Illinois. Henry Haupt is the spokesperson for the Secretary of State's office. He says the program gives children the opportunity to do two things.
One, it encourages them to read a book. And then two, it encourages them to write about the book in the form of a letter to the author of that book.
He says for many years, this competition was backed by the Library of Congress. The library recently ended its sponsorship, but encourages states to keep it going. There are tiers for participation. Each are based on the child's grade level. Students can enter on their own or with their participating school. The submission deadline is December 15th. A defense attorney from Illinois fears vigilantes will be emboldened by the not guilty verdict in the Kyle Rittenhouse trial. Illinois Newsroom's Reginald Hardwick reports.
A Wisconsin jury acquitted Rittenhouse 18 months after he shot and killed two people and wounded a third during protest over police brutality. April Prayer is a criminal defense attorney based in Chicago. She now expects more armed counter-protesters at civil rights demonstrations.
And so they'll take the chance to start the fight, to bring the gun to the protest, to get way more vocal and way more physical than they may have before.
Prayer made her comments on the 21st talk show on Monday. Rittenhouse told Fox News he's not a racist person and supports the Black Lives Matter movement. Reginald Hardwick, Illinois Newsroom.
The Fighting Illini men's basketball team lost last night to Cincinnati 71-51 in the semifinals of the Hall of Fame Classic in Kansas City. Center Kofi Coburn scored 18 points for Illinois in his return from a three-game NCAA suspension, but the Illini shot just 28% from the field in the loss. Illinois faces former head coach Bruce Weber and Kansas State in tonight's consolation game. Still to come, we'll head to Columbia, Missouri to see how that city is trying to counter the continuing rise in opioid overdose deaths. That story from Side Effects Public Media is coming up next on 217 Today.
The 21st is where Illinois gathers for news, information, and daily conversation on politics, the pandemic, culture, and everything in between. I'm Brian Mackey, inviting you to join the conversation anytime, day or night, by leaving us a voicemail. The number is 217-300-2121, and we might play it on air. Then tune in Monday through Thursday at 11 a.m. on AM 580 and 6 p.m. on FM 90.9.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. During the pandemic, drug overdose deaths in the U.S. spiked by nearly 30%, reaching the highest level ever recorded. Public health experts point to one major cause, the synthetic opioid fentanyl. Side Effects Public Media's Sebastian Martinez Valdivia looks at one Midwest city's efforts to raise awareness and save lives.
If you can't tell, I'm uncomfortable.
It's a Tuesday night, and around 100 community members have gathered in the cafeteria of Hickman High School in Columbia, Missouri. The audience is listening to Willie McCurry, who spent much of his life in and out of prison in St. Louis. McCurry has struggled with addiction, but he hasn't used substances for about a year.
I appreciate everybody clapping for my year. But the main topic of the night for me is Narcan. And without that, I wouldn't have that 12 months.
A year ago, he was in a transitional facility when he intentionally overdosed on fentanyl. He awoke to the captain of the facility on his chest in tears after administering naloxone, also known as Narcan, a medicine that reverses opioid overdoses.
And when I saw him, that's actually what changed me.
McCurry was nervous. It was his first time talking to a crowd this big. But after 24 years of dealing with substance abuse, he says it was important for him to share. And he's found audiences receptive.
People tend to understand. Even those that haven't struggled with addiction, they still can feel the pain, you know.
Naloxone is part of an approach to drug use known as harm reduction. The idea is if people are going to use drugs anyway, providing tools for them and others to do that more safely can help prevent deaths. In the past, opponents of harm reduction have equated it with enabling drug abuse. But there's been a significant cultural shift towards the strategy. The Columbia Police Department organized this event alongside the local health department in response to a rash of overdose deaths in the community. In the past 4 months, 14 Columbia residents have died from overdose, a majority connected with fentanyl. In addition to Narcan, the health department provides free test strips to allow people to test drugs for the presence of the synthetic opioid. Fentanyl is what brought Jim Haney out to the briefing. Haney organizes the local chapter of Narcotics Anonymous for families and friends of those struggling with or lost to substance abuse disorder. Every Wednesday night, he shows up to the local Methodist church to listen.
You know, we don't give advice. We tend to just express ourselves, and hopefully that'll help somebody else.
Haney lost his son Scott 3 years ago to a fentanyl overdose. He says Scott had struggled with substance abuse for most of his life, but had finally gotten clean for 10 months before overdosing. Haney supports harm reduction strategies, including test strips, and says his son likely didn't know he was taking fentanyl.
So what he probably thought he was buying heroin was nothing but straight fentanyl. They said it probably killed him instantly.
That's a problem, as experts say fentanyl has progressively spread into new states. So there are more people encountering it for the first time, including in stimulants like cocaine and meth. Dr. Dan Ciccaroni studies drug use, including fentanyl, at the University of California, San Francisco.
It's kind of the Wild West, you know, it's doing different things in different places.
Ciccaroni has worked with the past two presidential administrations and says the adoption of harm reduction has grown. He says it took 20 years for mainstream adoption of naloxone, and he points to the much quicker uptake of test strips as a sign of change.
The fentanyl test strips have gone from underground literally 5 years ago to being on the FDA's hit list for promotion. It shows you that harm reduction is no longer a dirty phrase.
Ciccaroni says the Biden administration has taken a progressive stance on harm reduction strategies, and he believes that approach will continue. Nevertheless, Ciccaroni and others say fentanyl is here to stay. And as the drug spreads, increasing awareness will only become more critical. I'm Sebastian Martinez Valdivia, Side Effects Public Media.
And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says we'll see sunny skies today with a high of 44 degrees. That's all for today. 217 Today is produced by Farah Anderson. Reporting today contributed by Hannah Meisel, Yvonne Booz, Reginald Hardwick, and Sebastian Martinez Valdivia. Music by the Kilbourn Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moline. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Stay safe. And we'll talk to you again tomorrow.